Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Live Dharma Sunday for June 8th, 2014. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. This weekend, we're enjoying triple-digit heat for our highs. Only 100, 101 maybe. And in the Central Valley of California, it's dry heat. So it's okay, but it's still hot outside. But not as bad as if you're in the 90s in the Midwest or Florida, perhaps, where it's very humid. It's always the context, isn't it? You know, comparison and how you interpret things. Well, the last month or so, I've been working on this labyrinth, which is a maze-like walking path. I have a clearing in my property. It's about 60 feet in diameter. And my labyrinth is going to be about 54 feet in diameter. And many labyrinths, which are used as spiritual tools, where you walk. You know how, like, when somebody's thinking about something and make a big decision in his office and he's walking back and forth. Somehow walking, when you're pondering on things, allows, sort of frees up your intuitive abilities, and that physical activity in the background of walking. While some people might say it kind of holds in check the left brain, logical, rational, cerebral, cognitive functioning, and it sort of opens up for you to receive more from the right brain, more creative, spontaneous intuitions. Okay, but however you might theorize it, it seems to work. They've done research, controlled research studies, which shows that more creative solutions, working solutions, accompany when you walk around. So anyway, I'm building this labyrinth, and a lot of labyrinths are built on the ground, in the sense that it's on a tapestry, a certain pattern of how to walk, or they make it outside with stones, okay, or somehow mark a path. But I'm going to mark the path with wooden stakes about 3 feet high driven into the ground, and then have a rope through eye screws on top of these stakes. So it'll be sort of like when you queue up at the airport and you wait in line and you know, you just follow this unicircular path with the ropes. So it's going to be like that. And a labyrinth is not like a maze. A maze is where you could get lost. You have to make decision points. You can go into a dead end. Labyrinth, by definition, is not like that. You don't have to make any decisions. You just follow the rope path, like in a queuing up in an airport waiting line. You just go around, back and forth, go all around, and you get to the ticket counter, right? So in the same way with the labyrinth, you just follow the path. It goes all over. It's not straight or direct, but it goes to the center of the circle. And you choose your, formulate your question, and then you walk the labyrinth. And somehow you can receive some kind of an answer. And I put gravel down on the ground, and I'm putting in these wooden stakes. And two of my friends are coming this morning. In fact, we're going to start about half an hour after the show's over. And I have an electrical drill that has an auger about an inch and a quarter diameter auger, 18 inches long, and you just drill a hole into the ground. Then I have these stakes, which are about inch and a quarter by inch and a quarter, or inch and a half by inch and a half stakes, about 5 feet high. And then after I drill the hole, then just put the stake in the ground, end up about 3 feet high, the tops of the stakes. Then later on, I'll put the eye screws on the top of these stakes and then string a nylon rope. So they're going to, I'll be marking the spots where the posts will go in according to the labyrinth pattern. I'll have the diagram. One guy will drill a hole. The other guy will put the stake in and pound it a little bit. It won't take too much pounding because the hole is right there, just a little bit smaller than the diameter of the stake and so forth. And I mentioned this as I thought about this. You know, if I'm doing it by myself, I've got to measure, I got to move the gravel on the spot there, and I have black plastic underneath, so I got to take my utility knife and cut a little X on the plot. Then I got to put that down. I got to pick up the drill, drill the hole, put that down, get the post, try to stick it in. Oh, make the hole a little bit bigger. Bop, 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 put it down. Do this. Finally, get it in. You know how much more efficient it is if you have two or three people. And one guy's doing all the drilling, moving, you know, one guy's doing marking the hole where it goes, and another guy just has to push the stake in. It's more than double or triple the efficiency if you have two or three people, because you're eliminating all that in-between waste of, oh, put this down, go pick this up, and, you know, and it's not as mentally straining. You don't have to be thinking about all these things, different things. So that kind of interdependency shows that when you're working together, the efficiency, you know, you don't have to go get a tool. You don't have to go up and bend up and down and things like this. So all kind of aspects of how things work together, I was thinking. Well, all right. Today, we are honored to have as our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse, Dorothy Shinyo of Florida. Her Dharma name, Shinyo, Shin is lively. Translated Chinese character, it means lively sun, S-U-N. She shines in a very lively way. And anyone who knows Dorothy, she is a very lively, enthusiastic, positive, upbeat person. So her Dharma name means that she should shine with the light of the Dharma in the same kind of way. Capitalize your strengths. And I know that she comes from a large family with many siblings. And in fact, she was part of the LM5, Lay Ministry 5 group, 2 years ago. They were inducted or graduated in the class of 2013. Her brother, David, was LM4. In 2012, he went through the program, and his name is Joyo. That Joy is the character, written character for enthusiastic. So the whole family, and I know it comes from their parents, and especially their mother, their late mother, Carol, who was a very upbeat, positive person. And both parents were strong supporters of my father, Reverend Gilmer Kubose, and often came from Wisconsin about a 2 or 3 hour drive to Chicago to attend his meditation group and his services. And our families were close. Now, Dorothy, and she and her husband, Roger, went through the program at the same time, the LM5 program. And they're located in Florida, and so let's hear what Dorothy Shinyo has to say to share with us today.
The title of my Dharma glimpse today is Everyone Has a Story. I had the opportunity to attend a Christian church service with my son last week in Atlanta. It was in a large building that held hundreds of people with this big stage up front, very large viewing screens, colored stage lights, and a band that sounded like they were performing for the Grammy Awards. Quite a production. As a first-time visitor, I was greeted and invited to stop by their connections desk or information center in the main hall. The service was only an hour, so I knew I could survive. What I did not expect was to enjoy the talk given by a young man who entitled it, Everyone Has a Story. He talked about his childhood, his sadness when his father left the family due to his divorce, his anger when he was bullied at school, his mixed feelings for whites because of his personal mistreatment being a minority. Yet in telling the details of his story, he smiled as he reflected, as if he had forgiven himself for his actions and emotions of the past. He was in his 30s now and moving forward in a positive way, no room for negative. God for him was having a vocation that enabled him to help other kids that may have grown up like him. Thus he was a youth minister. He believed in a positive life. He had faith that he will continue to grow and learn from his mistakes and that every day is a new starting point. So be grateful. This made sense to me because Buddhism is living in the moment and mindfully and with gratitude. Buddhism emphasizes truth, meditation, enlightenment, and universal life. And maybe we have more in common, even those beliefs, than I had ever expected. I thank my son for sharing this time with me, being grateful. May it be so.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Dorothy. You know, a lot of thoughts, associated thoughts on this theme here of us. Everyone has a story, and, you know, the speaker starts the new day he had the attitude that he will always be growing and learning from his mistakes and that every day is a new starting point. So be grateful. That statement is a tremendous statement. And it's more easily said than lived. It reminded me of a Buddhist article written by a Buddhist minister where he talked about philosophy of or approach to life. You could call it Eastern versus Western, but not really. In the sense that the Buddhism or Eastern philosophy is non-dualistic, whereas any Western philosophy or our usual kind of thinking is dualistic in the sense of two, you know, a dichotomous. Two opposites, yes, no, true, false, good, bad, starting point, ending point, start, finish. Huh? That's what might be called linear, okay, like a straight line. Whereas non-dualistic, meaning oneness, meaning a circle, not a straight line, but you've got to bend that circle, bend that straight line to make a circle. This holds for time, for a place, for attitude, for the way we approach things. So if Buddhism is represented by a circle, non-dualistic, see, in a circle, there is no particular starting point and ending point. Whereas on a line, of course, in the West, we will start from the left and move to the right. The starting point is on the left, and you move till you reach the other end. That's the goal. Now, in the circle, where do you want to start? Where do you start? Well, if it's linear, you got to start at the end of the line on the left side. But in a circle, where do you start? Any place. Every point is a starting point. Every morning is a starting point. Every moment is a starting point. And also, if you wanted to analyze this kind of metaphor or model, the goal is any place too. You could reach it right where you're at could be the goal. Okay? And then each ending point is a new starting point simultaneously. Whereas with a linear straight line, very different. Starting point's over here, the ending point is right over there, and as if you travel along that straight line, if you only went halfway, and somehow you, for some reason, you have to stop right there, you're only halfway at that point. You failed. You didn't make it. You're only halfway, okay, because the goal is that particular point over there on the right side of the line. How do you start over again? Where do you, a lot of implications for starting and ending when you're talking about traveling on a circle or on a straight line. See, straight line, the teleological or purposive aspect of your life. You began when you were born, I suppose. Now, circle. Gee, when did things start? When did your life start? What you think might be an end is in a sense, but it's also depending upon the context, a new beginning. Now, it is said. I read in a Zen calendar, every daily calendar has a quote. Someone gave me this calendar some years ago, and I saved the daily quotes of the ones I really liked. One was, "The only joy in the world is to begin." Now that's kind of stated dramatically, but when you begin, that's great, isn't it? Beginner's mind, not the expert mind, where it's all over, you know everything, or you think you know everything. You become stagnant, stale. Where's the excitement? Where's the... Okay. But to begin, that kind of, always be beginning. This is how... Everyone, not only does everyone have their own story, but the beginning of everyone's story is right now. Not at birth, not the beginning of my life, one's life is not going to be after. I got to go to school. I have to go to school, elementary school, high school. God, I hate this. My life is going to start when I go to college. Because now I'm an adult. I'm more independent. I can take the courses I want. Then once you're in college, you think, man, when I get a job and go into the real world, that's when my life is going to begin. My story will be really begin. But then you get you're in your job and right away you, unfortunately, perhaps for many people, as Thoreau said, people live lives of quiet desperation. Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman, or the kind of rat race or office politics, or there's always going to be something where, oh man, I just got to endure this. My life is going to begin when I retire. Then, wow! It's like we're going on a trip, on a journey, and we never unpack our bags. We're never at home. We always think it's right around the corner. Beginning of one story is right now. I know another lay minister, Bright Dawn lay minister, who he was a long time in the Navy, and on a ship, they would always, on the loud PA system, they would make an announcement, and the announcement was always preceded with, now hear this, now hear this. And he said, he sort of just took that as his personal mantra, where instead of now hear, listen, H-E-A-R, now hear this, he changed the hear to H-E-R-E, hear. Okay. Now, hear this. As his Buddhist personal mantra. So in his past history, he was able to immediately tap into all that long history of now hear this, and PA system on the ships, here's some important announcement, pay attention. He could now take that karmic influence of himself, make it into a personal thing. Now hear this. Look at right here. Right here, this is right before me, right now, here. Huh? Paying attention right here, becoming aware of something, okay? Letting go of things that hold us back. Non-attachment. You know, that word is that's a tough teaching, difficult. Easy to misinterpret non-attachment. As my father would say, non-attachment does not mean detachment. I see it as non-attachment being that when you're unable to let go and you victimize yourself because you're caught in some past quicksand that sucked you in, or some worry about the future, you're not here now. Okay. You think your story started way back then and you can't change it, or your story's going to start in the future? You got to wait? No. The circle. Sometimes people might talk about a circle as, oh, you're not getting anywhere. You know, you're not getting, what's your purpose? With a straight line, yeah, I can see the purpose. I got to go from here to there. What is life like when you have a philosophy of more like a circle and you get beyond the, well, a circle means you're not getting anywhere. Okay. Well, of course, it's all context. So going from A to B on a circle, when the circle is, well, large, infinite perhaps. Think about that. Every place is a starting point. Every place is the ending point. Your story starts right now. Every moment is your place of fulfillment, your place of the beginning. And you have to let go of yesterday. Okay? And don't get caught in tomorrow either. Even though those are both present right now. It's not that they're not important to plan, to learn from our mistakes. Okay? But right, you know, my it had turned out, I didn't plan it, but I turned out one of my personal mantras for the Dharma is keep going. And I think it says the same core of the teaching there, right? To begin. Okay? You're starting right now. Why trap yourself? Constrain yourself with things, heavy weights of the past or worries about the future? Okay. You could make that past come alive for you right now. Okay. And know where you're going to. Make that alive right now. Okay. Now hear this. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going. And you have a wonderful day. Thank you.